Amen. Do you like my hooray? Amen. Hooray to you. Hooray to you. Hooray to you. Hooray for both of you. And hooray for you. Amen. Pastor gives gifts. I gave them a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. Give everybody else a gift. Guess what I want to talk about today? Come on. Come on, somebody take a guess. Guess who I want to talk about today? I want to talk about Jesus. Amen. So, y'all, you know what? Please listen. But, you know what? At least, you know, I'm praying you're going to get this whole thing. Amen. But know what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Jesus. And we're going to talk about his rising from the dead. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, the sermon title is He Has Risen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses. So if you'll stay with me, and if you don't have a Bible or you don't have the New King James, you can follow us word for word up in the screen. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. According to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by 500 brethren. Somebody say at once. Of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and by all the apostles. Somebody say, all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me. This is Paul. I saw him also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, whom am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me is not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. How many believers I got in the house? Hallelujah. Now, if Christ was preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some of you, some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. God bless the reading of the Word of God today. I don't have a long time to preach. Okay, let's try that again. That was weak. I don't have much time to preach. Actually, you encourage me today. The reason I picked 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is because this chapter is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. It's got 58 verses in it. Amen. And today I'm going to preach all 58 verses. Somebody say, amen. Just joking. But I do want to make some points today that I believe will be a blessing to you. And they're very simple, but they're very profound. How many know sometimes complicated isn't profound? Sometimes simple is profound. So my first point is this. Number one, write this down. It's up here on the screens. Everybody needs a Savior. And here's why. Because you can't save yourself. So everybody needs a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior. Let me tell you about Satan. Satan has always lied to men. Always. See, that's how, remember the Bible says in John 10:10, somebody help me preach this. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, you know what it says? Christ says, Satan only comes to do one thing, to steal, to kill, and destroy. See, Pastor, I thought that was three things. No. He only comes but for do one thing, and it's to bring destruction and death. He never has anything for you that is any good whatsoever. And how does he do that? He is the father of lies. So he comes to people, including people in here. Come on, somebody. And people out there. And he lies to them. I mean, think about it for a minute. I thank God that the church is filled. But how many recognize this church shouldn't be filled like this? This church should be filled all over the place. Amen? Come on, you can say amen to that. No, it should be. And I thank God that you're here. But Satan has lied to me, and he's lied to you, and he's lying to people. What is the lie? What was the lie back then? What was the lie back then? Look at Matthew chapter 8 or 28. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verses 12 and 13, right up here on the screen. Look what it says. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large amount of money to the soldiers. Why are they giving them a large amount of money? Because they are messed up. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus stirred people up. People saw. Thousands saw Jesus take fish and bread, lift it up to his Father and say, Father, bless this. And when he did, then he passed out the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to the apostles. And when he passed it out to the apostles, then they had already gotten people in groups of 50 and 100, and they went around feeding all the people. Well, how in the world do you do that? A supernatural God. And every single one of those people, I believe, saw Jesus raise that up and ask God to bless it. How many people were there? We know a lot of people were there when Jesus Christ was walking by, and they had that blind man who couldn't see since birth. And he asked, who is walking around? What's going on? Because there were so many people, he knew something was going on. And somebody told him, Jesus is walking by. And he started to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did Jesus do? We know there were a lot of people there because he stops and he tells the people, there are a bunch of people telling him, sit down, be quiet. Listen to me, I know who I'm preaching to. You don't sit down and you don't be quiet. If you need God to do a miracle in your life, you do what that man did. Cry out to Jesus. Say, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's what he did. Amen. And so that's what he did. And Jesus said, No. Why are you shutting him down? Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is aware of what you're going through. Jesus is aware of the hurts that you're hurting. Imagine the insecurities that would come to somebody who's blind. They know they're not like everybody else. And Jesus was aware of that. I don't know exactly where Jesus was going at the time, but he stops. Why? Because he cares about people that are hurting. And so he goes to him. He says, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing shutting him down? Bring him to me. And that man came to him, and he said, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And this man, who had been blind since birth, said, that I might see. Amen. Can I tell you, I don't know who this is for. Let me tell you what. Stop asking lower than the big ask. Really? Your asking lower is indication of you don't understand how big your God is. Don't ask down here. Ask up here. That I might be healed, that I might see. That's what I need. And so Jesus heals him. And who saw that? All these people saw it. All these people saw it. Now, that Jesus is the Jesus who are riling people up. And they didn't appreciate that riling up, because that riling up, you know what? How many know government just likes everything smooth? You know what I mean? We don't want the people to be riled up. Do you understand that? We don't want people to be riled up. Amen. And so they had a time with Jesus. They had such a time with Jesus that they killed Jesus. To shut him up. To put him down. To silence the things that were happening. And so, after they killed him, they put him in a tomb. And when they put him in a tomb, they wanted to make sure that his the 12 apostles didn't come and steal him. And so they put a huge boulder in front of the tomb. Then they put a seal on the tomb. And then they put a soldier in front of the tomb. Well, early Sunday morning. Can I tell you what? A boulder ain't going to keep Jesus down. Come on, help me preach this. A seal ain't going to keep Jesus down. And a soldier ain't going to keep Jesus down. Amen. And so they go and they're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, we thought we had problems with him feeding the 5,000. What's going to happen when they recognize that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? What is going to happen then? You think we got problems now? It is in this reality that they were assembled with the elders and consulted together. What are we going to do? So they came up with this. They gave a large sum of money to the what? Soldiers. To the soldiers. Why? Because the soldiers knew that the apostles didn't come and steal him. Hello. The soldiers knew that it was supernatural. The soldiers knew that something happened. Nobody took him. I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us the details. The Bible tells us that God raised him from the dead. I don't know what happened. I don't know, like maybe, remember when they came to get Jesus? They came and they had swords and they had clubs and they came to get Jesus. And one version says, in the Gospels, says that all of a sudden they were lying down. All of them were down on the ground. Amen. What happened? A power of God's what happened. Amen. I'm gonna show you that nobody takes my life. I'm giving my life. And when you read it, it was like Jesus had to say, it's almost like he had to revive them. If you read it, it's like he's like, hey guys, what are you here for? Come on, get up. I got to do this. Come on, let's go. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were slain in the spirit. I don't know that they were, I have no idea. A lot of things could have happened. Here's what I know. The 12 apostles didn't come to steal him. That's not what happened. That's why they're paying him money. Why are they paying him money? They're paying him money to lie. And then they say this. Here's what we want you to do. Saying, tell them the disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Here's some money. Here's some money. Well, say that you guys were sleeping. I'm telling you what, that didn't happen. So, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. Well, I got 2 points. One, Jesus really rose from the dead. And two, Satan is a liar. He lied back then. He lied in the 3rd century. He lied in the 6th century. He's lying to people. He lied to people in the 12th century. He lied to people in 1972. He lied to people in 1982. He lied to people in 1992. And some people are still being lied to today. But it's a lie. Now, let me tell you how dangerous that lie is. That lie is going to keep you from the destiny and the life that God intends you to live. Amen. I tell people this, the more God you have, the better your life is going to be. Can I get a witness in the house? The better your life is, the more you get God in your life. Listen, how many want your life to be better? Raise your hand if you want your life. Come on, raise your hand if you want your life. Say, Pastor, I want my life to be better. Then you figure out how you're going to put more God in your life. Because the more God you have in life, the better your life is going to be. And so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he comes, he lies to people. Can I tell you what? You ever been lied to before? Have you ever been lied to and you really didn't want it to be a lie? Come on, who's in the house? It's like they're lying to you but you don't want it to be a lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't want it to be a lie. But it's a lie. And what you do, and I've done this too, we believe the lie more than the truth. How does that work out for you? Doesn't work out good. This is the same thing. You know, sometimes people just, they don't want to believe in God. Can I tell you what? Here's the crazy thing. Can I be honest with somebody today? I know this isn't probably that, well, this is just the reality. You know why people don't really want to come to Christ? Can I tell you why many people don't want to come to Christ? Listen, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how much you're following Christ. For all I know, you know what? Your grandma and them, you know, you came with your grandma and them, right? Somebody invited you. You're like, okay, I'll go. It's Easter. And if that's you, listen, I got nothing but love for you. We have nothing but love for you. We're not a church where we're self-righteous.
that we recognize that we think we're better than you, because we're not better than you. But I tell you the truth, today can be the day for you that you stop believing a lie. And when you stop believing the lie, when you have the courage to step into the truth, here's why this is difficult for so many people. Because Jesus doesn't want just part of your life. I'm just saying, Jesus don't want just part of your life. Jesus wants all of your life. Can I go a little deeper today? I said, can I go a little deeper today? And what is the deal? What do we come up with? What is the lie that Satan uses that says that God's not real? All this is just, it's just a fantasy. All this is just make-believe. All this is just, no. It's not make-believe. Go to my second point. Number two, understand this. The resurrection of Christ is not a fairy tale. And those who believe are in it are not illogical, and you're not delusional. The world out there would have us think that all these give you this impression that all the Christians, they're kind of, you know, it's like, they're kind of broken a little bit. You know what? They're not secure enough. They're insecure people. They need something. They need a crutch. That's what one leader said. Communist leader said that the Christians needed a crutch. They're just a little off. It's just illogical. They're just delusional. They believe in these fairy tales, and one of the fairy tales they believe in is Jesus Christ. They believe in all these fairy tales. Jesus turned water to wine. He healed that blind person. Oh my goodness, they're just crazy. I want to proclaim the truth to you today. We're not crazy. Amen. Matter of fact, you want to talk about crazy? Die without a covering to take away your sins. That's crazy. See, listen, I don't know what y'all believe, but I'm going to tell you the truth today. When you die, you ain't going to die. When you die, you ain't going to die. Amen. Your body's going to die, but you ain't going to die. That's a true story. You can look yourself in a mirror. If you look yourself in a mirror long enough, you can see that you are a spirit. Amen. You are a spirit. You have a soul, but you live in a body. And when that body dies, you ain't going to die. You are not your body. You are a spirit created by God to live forever. Let me tell you what crazy is. Crazy is going into eternity without the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's crazy. That is crazy. You know what's crazy too? Putting your iPad in the sun where you have no notes anymore. That's crazy. Can I tell you the truth? People saw Jesus. We have eyewitnesses that saw him die. Eyewitnesses who saw him die and saw him raised from the dead. The Bible gives us this account. We read it. Cephas saw him. He saw him. We know John saw him. And John not only saw him, John saw him die on the cross. Listen, there were so many people who they carried him to the grave. He was dead. They took a spear, John saw it and they put it into the side. Jesus was dead. And there's people that saw Jesus not only die, there was people who saw him and talked to him after he rose from the dead. Are you kidding me? They talked to him. Thomas, Jesus said, feel, Thomas. You don't believe? You want to say, oh, I don't, no. I not only want you to see it, I want you to feel my side, Thomas. People ate fish with him. No. Jesus was alive after he died. That's the reality. You know, it's so interesting because, again, it's illogical not to believe this. There are 300 prophetic scriptures talking about Jesus, talking about his life, his birth, his life, and then his going to the cross and his resurrected. 300 of them in the Old Testament. That hundreds of years before Christ was, there were prophets that prophesied about where Jesus was going to be born. You know, about that he was going to be born of a virgin. Over and over again, how he was going to die. Let me give you quickly eight of them. Just eight, quickly. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus would be called to escape to Egypt. You remember this? An angel spoke to his father, Joseph, and got him out of there. Prophesied in the Old Testament. The massacre of the children would happen at Jesus' birthplace. Remember that leader said, we're going to need to kill, we want to make sure there are going to be no king but me. We're going to kill all these children. Number four, Jesus would be called a Nazarene. How in the world would somebody in the Old Testament know that Jesus, why was he called a Nazarene? Because he moved to Nazareth. How would anybody figure that out? Hundreds of years before he was born, Jesus would speak. Let me say this. The Bible, the Old Testament, was their Bible. That was not only finished when Jesus lived, it was not only finished, it was translated to Greek so the Greeks could read it. This was all written down already. Before it happened, you could have read it, and then Jesus, when he moves to Nazareth, you could have said, oh, trip out. That's what he said. If you would have been smart, you could have gone to Vegas and made some money on this. Jesus would be crucified with criminals. Jesus, figure this one out. Jesus would be given vinegar to drink. All of these passages are in the Old Testament. Now, let me tell you what, but these are eight, but 300, somebody say 300. 300 were prophesied and all 300 came to fruition. Now, let me teach you something. What are the chances of that happening? See, they call us illogical. No. We are very logical. We're spiritual, but we're logical. We're not deluded. We don't believe in a fairy tale. He really rose from the dead. But watch this. 300. Somebody say 300. 300. Let's just say eight. Oh, I had eight up on the screen, did I not? Let's just say eight. Let's just say eight of those took place. Well, some way smarter people than me figured this out. And they figured just for eight to come about, the chances of that happening are 1/10 to the 17th power. That's how illogical that would be. You understand what I'm talking about? Just by random chance, just eight of these happening, by random chance is complete. You say, Pastor, what is 1/10 to the 17th power? What is that? All right, here's what that is. Let's go to Texas. And let's bring a bunch of half-dollar bills. And in one of those half-dollar bills, let's paint it red
for the blood of Jesus. And then let's drop them all over Texas, 2 feet deep. And then let's get you, put you in a helicopter, and fly over Texas. And wherever you tell that helicopter guy to stop, we'll stop. And then we'll get one of those ropes, we'll put it down, and we'll let you climb down the rope. And when you climb down the rope, blindfolded, reach down and pick up, 2 feet deep, pick up the red silver dollar that we planted somewhere in Texas. And if you do that, if you pick up the red one, that will be 1 over 10 to the 17th power chance. Just 8 of those happening. Can I tell you what? Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the main thing he has stolen from our society is we don't need a savior. Let me tell you what, you need a savior. Well, what's the lie? What does he come? What's the lie? The lie is God doesn't exist. What's the other lie? You're not that bad. Come on. How many know all of us can find someone if you have an issue with drinking? How many know? I didn't ask you to raise your hand. Somebody said, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. If you're having a problem with drinking, how many know you can find somebody who gets more drunk than you? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many know if you smoke weed? How many know you can find somebody who's a bigger pothead than you? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. How many know if you're a gossiper? You know, it's interesting because, well, before I go into gossiping, let me go. How many know if you How many know if you watch pornography, there's people that watch more pornography than you? Yeah, Tony said a bigger TV. That was funny. Right? That was funny. Right? Right? Is that not right? See, I'm telling you, you can always find somebody that is worse than you. Can you not? And that's the lie. But let's talk about this, because can I go a little deeper? Here's the deal. We gravitate towards those sins. Pornography, drinking, smoking weed. Well, some of us don't think smoking weed's bad, but not me. Amen. But my point is, let me address that. The Bible says, you know what, to not be drunk with wine. The issue is getting drunk. The issue is I don't care what it is, weed, alcohol, you know what, cocaine. It doesn't make any difference. It's, you know what, that you need some help. And the Holy Spirit says, let me be your help. That's what he says. So I'm just trying to help somebody out. God wants to be your provider. God wants to provide you peace. He is your peace. That's what the Bible says. But here's what we do. We gravitate to those sins. How many know there's some other sins? Oh, ho, ho, ho. How many know there's some other sins? See, these are what's called sins of the flesh. How many know there's what's called sins of the spirit? I mean, no, we need to work on some of those sins, amen? Like, I don't have that bad of an attitude. I mean, our attitude is awful, amen? I mean, our attitude is awful. An attitude is indication of your heart. You know, you walk around. What? Here, let me illustrate better right now. With your Bible. Hello, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you saved? See, we can gravitate to those sins of the flesh, but there's also sins of the heart. Attitude.
You know, I tell you what, my husband, I ain't forgiving him. I ain't never gonna forget what he did to me. And you're proud of that. You ought to. That is. Can I speak to somebody? That is gross. That is gross. After all what God has forgiven you, and you won't be, you know what, you know, on a trip, you know, to whatever, to Arizona with your head looking out the window. You are ugly, ugly. Amen. You might have all your makeup good. You might have your lashes and your ugly. Amen. Amen. And you're like, I ain't that ugly. You know what? You haven't even been around Kimberly. Kimberly is ugly. Kimberly. She, let me tell you about Kimberly, man. You think I treat my husband bad? Kimberly, man. Oh, God, help Kimberly's husband. Because she is ugly. If your name is Kimberly, forgive me. Amen. But if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. Come on. Come on. Do we got some Kimberlys in the house today? Your name might not be Kimberly, but you're acting like Kimberly. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying, what is the lie? The lie is that you really don't need a Savior. And you need a Savior. And the only one who could save you is Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what Jesus saves you from? He saves you from your sin, and he saves you from sinning. What does that mean, from our sin is sinning? Your sin is when you accepted Jesus and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. How many liked all the things that came off you immediately when you got saved? How many was like, oh man, I used to cuss, and man, as soon as I got saved, I didn't cuss at all. It was awesome. How many liked that stuff? But Jesus' power, it's not only powerful enough to save you from all that and wash you from all that sin, but it's so powerful, listen to me, that it can get you out of your mess. How many, raise your hand, how many of you been saved, but you still were in a mess? Come on, get your hands up. You were still in a mess. Let me tell you about the power of the resurrection of Christ. He not only rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, understand this, when Christ rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. We are in Christ Jesus. So that power that got him from, listen, when you all gonna die someday, you ain't gonna stay in that grave. Remember that song, Tamara? Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body. Hey, next year, I want to sing that song. Amen. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm getting out of that ground. Ain't no grave. Ain't no grave gonna hold your body down if you're born again. Amen. Ain't no grave gonna hold your body down. But let me go one farther. Not only do you have the power to, God is going to raise you from the dead, but you have a power living today to walk in this supernatural power that the stuff that used to hold you, now you can be delivered from. Amen. Now, it might take a little work. It might take you being obedient to what God has asked you to do. But if you will, I'm telling you what, there ain't no grave gonna hold you down, and there's no bondage that you can't get free of once you're born again. Oh my goodness. It's in the sun too much. Let me say one more thing in closing. good. I'd give you another candy. I'd give you candy, but you already gave you candy, okay? Let me say one more thing that you need to understand. Remember in this passage, we saw all these witnesses. And we saw these witnesses, and we saw Cephas, and we saw the Bible said there was 500 at one time. See, there's always a lie. Oh, these people had visions of God. They were delusional. Let me tell you what. 500 people don't have the same dream at one time. Do you understand this? And let me tell you about those people. All those people, some of them passed away. But when Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, he said, a lot of these people are alive. You can go and talk to them right now. Yeah. Amen. So he says, you know what? Cephas, 500, James, and all the apostles. But then you know what he says? He says this. It's in verse 7. After that, he raised up James and then all the apostles. I'm sorry, verse 8. Then, last of all, he was seen by me. Let me do a rider, my dog. Huh? Huh? What is that about? See, let me tell you what. Growing up in the Baptist church I grew up in, I learned some great songs. And one of the songs I learned was called He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men may say, I hear His, when I was growing up, I'll take a pause. Can I take a pause? I'm going to get back to that song. When I was growing up, sometimes I wasn't paying attention to half of this stuff. But God still got through to me anyway, amen? You bring your kids to church, trust me, they're learning stuff. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ready? Here's my point. You asked me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. See, let me tell you, there are way more people. There are over 2 billion people that claim to be saved by Jesus Christ. That is all of the United States. That is all of Asia, the population of all the United States and Asia and China put together. More Christians believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't tell me Jesus doesn't live. You can't tell me that. Why? Because He lives within my heart. See, you can't tell me Jesus. You can believe a lie if you want to believe a lie. You can be deceived if you want to be deceived. You can be delusional if you want to be delusional. But let me tell you what, Jesus Christ, you know why they can't find the body? Because it's not buried anymore. Because He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, we are going to rise from the dead. Because He was able to have victory over sin, we can have victory over sin. Oh my goodness. How many proofs is there of the... Somebody, I'm asking you, how many proofs do we have in the house that God raised Jesus from the dead? One. I got one. I got two. I got three. I got four. I got five. I got six. I got seven. I got eight. Do I have anybody on this side? I got nine. I got ten. Don't you tell me Jesus wasn't risen from the dead. Don't tell me that God didn't raise Jesus from the dead. Don't tell me that I'm delusional. No, I'm not delusional. That is absolutely not true. The truth is, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. I don't care what people say. I know God. He's alive in my life. And is alive in many people's lives. Maybe you say, Jesus, maybe you say, Drew, man, I can't explain it all. I just want to ask Jesus in my heart right now. We don't like to end a Sunday service that we don't allow Jesus, you, the opportunity to invite Jesus in your heart. These people who raised their hand, what did they do? They just asked Jesus in their heart. They did, and then they started to allow Jesus to guide their life. Jesus, the Bible says, stands at the door and knock. It's not a door. The door is the door to your heart. The knocking isn't a knocking like this. It's the preaching of the word. And as I'm preaching the word, God's knocking. He's saying, hey, that's right. Hey, that's true. Hey, this is for you. Hey, you don't need to. You better not die and go into eternity without me. I want you, let me come in. But let me tell you about Jesus. He will never hit the door down. He'll never kick the door down. But he'll knock. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray with me? I want to accept Jesus today. Yes, who else? Yes, yes, I see those hands. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who else? Is anybody else? Yes, thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. And then I'm sure there are some people watching on the internet. If that's you, you say, yeah, but Pastor, you can't see me. It don't make any difference. God can see you. Raise your hand. Say this with, yes, I see that hand. Thank you, young man. Say this with me, Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I need you in my life. Take away all my sins. I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.